to the book of Isaiah, 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 43rd chapter of Isaiah, the 10th verse. We'll begin reading, read down through the 12th verse. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you so much for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness, your kindness, your wonderful goodness to us, and how good you've been to us here, Father, how you've protected folk, even though there's been accidents and things, sicknesses. God, you've helped and you've intervened, and I want to thank you for it. Once again tonight, the preacher needs your help. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Ask you to do it, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In God's word that I read to you, he mentions two different times that we are his witnesses, that he is God. Tonight we want to just look at some things tonight. I've got some observations that I'm going to give you, and then we're going to talk about a few things tonight. And we want to look at this upcoming revival, and I just pray, I so have prayed, and I trust you have too, that God will just send the riches of heaven upon us. Not because we deserve him, but because he's good and he's great. And I'd just love to see a bunch of folks saved, wouldn't you? I just love to see a whole bunch of folks saved. I love to see God's people. They may not even be of our church, but God's people come and hear and be blessed. And maybe many of them get right with God if they're away from the Lord or whatever the situation might be. And I pray for myself first, and I pray for our church, that there'll be real revival, the stirring of hearts. And I really trust that. I really pray for that. I want that individually. I want that for you. I want that for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. As a pastor, I can look at my own needs and look at things like that, but I can't just stop there. I have to look at the needs of this church, not as you as an individual, but the good of this church, what is best for the glory of God. That's what's important. God's work is important. And the overall work of God is what we need to look to and realize that we've just got to do everything we can to get the work of God done. So the Bible says that we are his witnesses. That's what he says to us. I don't know how it has affected you, and that's entirely up to you. But when we preach to the seven letters out of the book of Revelation, the letters that God himself, Jesus Christ himself, who is God, gave to the Apostle John to pin down for seven different churches. And he wrote those letters to the angels of that church, and we discussed that means the messenger of the church or the pastor. They was written to him to give to the people. That's what he did. And I don't know how they affected you, but they affected me tremendously. When I look at those seven letters, and let me say this, sometimes, you know, we can take the Bible, the Word of God, and just hear a message from it and treat it just like a story told, just something that's said. And it doesn't really affect us. It's just like reading a book, reading some story that you might have picked up and read. But that's not the way it's designed to be. Messages from God's Word are designed to touch the heart. And so anyway, the seven letters that God sent to us individually, as a church too, but individually God sent those to us, certainly had a great effect upon my life. As I studied and as I preached them, they had a great effect upon my life, because here's what I understand. I understand Jesus wrote that to this messenger, as well as he did to those messengers. And then when he wrote that to this messenger, it's my responsibility to get it to you. as a people. And as I looked at all of those messages, I understood that Jesus had some things against the churches. And I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about it. That's up to you. But to me, I kept wondering through all of those seven messages as I was studying what he would say about us. What he honestly would say about us. And we need to understand some. He does care what happens in the church. He cares. You may not care. Preachers may not care. But Jesus cares. And he cares what happens here tonight. He cares what happens in every service. He cares what happens in every individual life. But he cares about the church as a whole and how it honors God or does not honor God. And that's why I'm so concerned about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I wanted to honor God Almighty. I'm the messenger God has put here. And I wanted to honor God. And I'll do anything that I have to do to see to it that it does it. Do you hear me? Now I want to show you something. You see, Jesus took seven letters and wrote to those churches. And he told them things that they needed to straighten out. He also told them some things they was doing good. But he told them things they should straighten out. Because of that, he's saying to us, a church here, there's just things we need to straighten out. We need to keep things right and straight. And hold fast that which you have, as he said in more than one church, to one more than one church. But I want to show you his great concern. Turn with me just real quickly over to the book of John, Gospel of John. I want to show you something. The second chapter of the Gospel of John. Second chapter of the book of John. I want you to listen to something that the Lord Jesus did. And once again, it proves and shows his great concern for the temple, the place. Now, we understand, I understand that the temple of the Jewish day was the temple. The temple of God today is us. I understand that. But the same principles are there. Now, in chapter 2, verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now if you just take a picture of this and understand, here Jesus Christ is going into the temple. He sees there those who sold doves and other kind of things for sacrifices and the money changers there, sitting at tables. And in other words, the house of God had become a house of merchandise. Now I just want you to know the Bible says this. The Bible says he made a scourge out of small cords. And it doesn't say he shook it at them. It says he drove them out. He went over to the tables and knocked the money off the table and then turned the tables over. Now, some people today would look at that and say, boy, he had a bitter spirit, didn't he? But he didn't have a bitter spirit. You know what he was concerned about? The house of God. What went on in the house of God. That's what he cared about. That's what his concern was. So I say to you and I, we better be concerned too. We better care what happens to the house of God. All you need to do, you probably won't do this, and I don't know how you could, but if you just need to go around this country a little bit and see what's happening in the house of God. What's going on in the house of God today? You ought to see how they're dressing and how they're acting and how they're behaving and how there's no standards there anymore. You ought to look at it. And then you ought to say, you know what? We're going to do everything we can to keep Blessed Hope Baptist Church straight. I mean, just keep it straight down the line. Keep it going right. And that's why I say to you, and you know what? Listen to this. Did you notice across the congregation, some amens? You know, there's a lot of folk right here believe the same way I believe. There's some don't, but there's a lot of folk around here that believe it. Amen? I mean, they want to keep it straight. Amen. That's why, you know, we're going to do it. Amen. So anyway, I just wanted you to know Jesus is concerned about the house of God. I'm going to give you some observations. As I sat down and I thought about these things, I'm going to give you some observations. I want you to just listen to them. They're just something from my heart. They're just something that came to me as I thought about the church and the church's condition. I'm talking about as a whole in America today, the church's condition and what's going on. And I had some observations. First of all, I said to myself, this country and the church itself, the whole world is suffering today because the church is in retreat instead of charging. I said also to myself, the battle for the souls of mankind is not raging. I said to myself, the church has turned its compassion inward instead of outward. We're more concerned with what happens to us as an individual than we are what happens to the work of God. We're more interested in what these little squabbles that goes on in a church than we are whether a soul gets saved or not. That's more important. So I'm saying to you, we're more concerned. The compassion is turned inward. We're more interested in self than we are what God has put us here for, the saving of souls. I also said to myself, the church as a whole has a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I believe that. I believe there's very little Holy Spirit power in our churches today. I did not say there was not some. I just said I believe there's very little. It's not like it ought to be. They're denying the power thereof. We have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I also said this. The church is enjoying the pleasures and luxuries of the American way of life. Amen. I said the church is more concerned about the country that God called them out of than they are the country God wants them to go to. I also wrote this down. The church is no longer strangers and pilgrims on this earth, but are top-notch citizens. And we're called to be strangers and pilgrims. But we've joined in and we're top-notch citizens of this world. Did you realize that many, many people, most people, a lot of people, stay away from a church that is a soul-winning church? Now, there's a reason for that. You say, well, Brother Ross, why would they stay away from a soul-winning church? Because if it's a soul-winning church, they're going to have to either get involved or being shown up for what they are. They're not soul winners. They have not the concern for the souls of men. So what happens is, all at once, that soul-winning church puts too much pressure on them, and so they begin to look for another place. So most people stay away from active, soul-winning churches because they don't want to get involved. Now, God said in His Word, "Ye are My witnesses." Now you say, Brother Ross, that's Old Testament stuff. I know. But the same God said in the New Testament, ye are My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of this earth. He said the same thing in the Old Testament. He said the same thing in the New Testament. He says, ye are My witnesses. So God calls us to be a witness unto Him. We're His witness. We're it. Who else is going to do it? I mean, think about it. Who else is going to be a witness for God? Same thing He tells us over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, about we are His ambassadors. Realize it or not, as a child of God, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Is that true? Is that scriptural? Sure. So what does ambassador do? Well, I want to take you to a few different scriptures, and I want just you to listen to them. We're going to turn to a few scriptures. I want you to just listen to what God says in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. First of all, I want to show you how an ambassador speaks. How does an ambassador speak? That's in 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. And I'll just read one verse, verse number 4. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He talks about there, we're put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. In other words, we speak the gospel, we give the gospel out. And then he says something really very wonderful. Not as pleasing men, but God. Do you know, you go out giving the gospel out, you don't have to worry about pleasing men. Just please God. It doesn't make any difference what men think of you if you're giving the gospel out. It just doesn't matter what men think. So what? He said, we ought to speak as pleasing God, not men. Amen. Now, what I just want to encourage you to do, I want to encourage you. See, I can't make you give out the gospel. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says about it. I can tell you you are disobedient if you're not giving out the gospel. Now, everybody in here ought to shake your head up and down, because you know the scriptures as well as I know it. And if we're not giving out the gospel, we are not doing what God has told us to do. Is that true? So what I'm simply saying is, as ambassadors, we ought to speak for him whom we represent. And what he wants us to speak is not just uplifting, which is good to do, but give his word. Give his message. Give the gospel. Now over in 1 Peter, please, in the 2nd chapter. Verse number 9. What is our purpose? Well, giving out the gospel. But now listen what he says. Verse number 9, chapter 2, 1 Peter. For we are chosen generations, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now he makes it very plain. He makes it very plain that he's called us out of darkness. Now folks, darkness and light cannot coexist. It's impossible. And he said he's called us out of darkness. And he says, out of darkness unto his marvelous light. And then he says, what are we to do? What's our purpose? That we should show forth the praises of him who's called us. Our purpose in life is to show forth the praises of God, to honor him, to bring glory to God Almighty. Look back in Isaiah 43rd chapter. I think it's the 7th verse. He tells us the whole purpose is to give glory to God. Our purpose for being here is to glorify God. So he's simply saying, what is our purpose as an ambassador? Oh, to speak the good news and to glorify God. Show praises unto him. Now, another thing here on the other side of that, in the book of James, just right back, book of James, the 4th chapter, verse number 4. We can't afford to be a traitor. Now, ambassadors are someone who represents the country. Amen. Represent, and in our case, represents the individual, represents Jesus Christ, who we have a country, which is heaven. But we can't afford to be a traitor. And here's what he says in verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now he's just simply saying a very simple truth. He said, if we become the friendship of the world, the friend of the world, we become the enemy of God. Again, the two cannot coexist. And he tells them, and he's talking about, he says, adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking about spiritual adulteresses and adulterers. Spiritual. And what he's simply saying to us is this. If we're going to become a friend of the world, we are an enemy of God. Now listen, he's not talking to the lost there. He's talking to God's people there. Understand what I'm saying? So again, I'm saying, we don't want to be called, we don't want to be found to be traitors. Amen. You don't want to be a traitor. And a traitor is one who's become a friendship of the world, and he becomes an enemy of God, although he's an ambassador. That's a traitor. Amen. So then, how should an ambassador walk? You're over here close. The first John, the second chapter of 1 John, says in verse 6, he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now what he's saying is this, here's an ambassador, we're representing Jesus Christ. He says, how should you walk? Well, we ought to walk like Jesus walked. You see, he said, whosoever, if you notice that, he said, whosoever saith he abideth in him. In other words, if we speak it, we should walk it. If we say we're an ambassador, we say we're a child of God, then that's what we ought to walk. Isn't that right? I mean, you believe that, I believe. That's true. That's scriptural. That's what the Word of God says. And he said, you ought to walk like him if you say you abide in him. Then over in the book of Titus, first chapter of the book of Titus, I'm just going to look at the other side of that just with one verse of scripture in verse number 16 and say how we should not walk. In verse number 16, he says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. In other words, simply saying this, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. See, again, if you're God's child, you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, what should I do? I ought to walk like Jesus walked. Isn't that right? Oh, everybody's going to say, well, Brother Ross, I'm not Jesus and I'm not perfect. I well know that. But that's the way we should walk. That should be our goal of life. Our goal of life ought to be more like Jesus every day of our life. You're right. We're human. We'll never get there. But I want to tell you something. We ought to look more like Jesus every day of our life. Amen. We ought to walk as he walked, not walk just professing, but in works denying him. See, that's something we cannot afford to do. Then over in Psalms, the 78th Psalm, please turn with me there. He said this of Israel, 78th Psalm and verse number 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Once again, he's saying something. He's saying about Ephraim. He said, here was the day of battle. They was armed and carrying bows, and they turned back in the day of battle. We're armed. We're carrying the swords. We're carrying the Bibles, the Word of God. We carry that. It's the sword of the Spirit. And instead of using that sword, we turn back in the day of battle. We're doing just like Israel did. We just keep our armor, but we don't do anything with it. We just turn back. We fight against some things. We fight against, and let me try to explain this, what I believe concerning getting involved in abortion issues and all kinds of issues. I believe it's right for the independent church, Christian to get involved and do their best to try to fight these things and do their best. But you can't take a church and turn it in that direction. You pull away from the whole purpose of the church when you begin to make a big deal out of all of these things. That's not what God has asked us to do. Now, individually, I want to mention abortion. I want to tell them it's wrong. I want people to know it's wrong. I want to be right there when it says the textbooks that they're having in the public schools today is absolutely filth, many of them. It's wrong. We want to say that. But I'm not going to take this church's time and energy out and go to war against those things, because that's not what the church is for. The whole purpose of the church is to get people saved. Now, as an individual Christian, you stand up for right. You do that. You should do that. You might even want to go to some meetings. You might want to be a part of it. But if you ever get it out of priority, if you go to all of those meetings and you do this and that, and you spend your time fighting those battles and you don't win souls, you're absolutely out of the will of God. You're out of the will of God, no doubt about it. The will of God is getting people saved. That's what the church's purpose is. That's why we're here, is to get people saved. Amen? And individually, as a child of God, that is our purpose. That's why we have prayer time tonight. Why does people call out and say, well, so-and-so needs saved. Why are we praying for these people? Get them saved. Why do we go out on visitations? Why do we do these things? Get people saved. Why do we have Sunday school classes? Why do we have preaching services? Get people saved. Why do we have children's churches? Get people saved. That's the purpose of the church. You see, and we forget that something. We get way off. And you just let me ask you this. You know yourself. You know yourself better than I do. What is your goal in life? As a Christian, what's your goal in life? What's the main thing that's more important to you than anything else? Right now, if you said, this is my goal, Brother Ross, would it be, I want to see people saved? Well, what should your goal be? What should my goal be? Whatever we do, however we do it, the ministries we have here must be designed toward the goal of getting people saved. Folks, this thing's all going to end pretty soon. You can laugh at it. You can mock at it. You say, Jesus is not coming soon. But I'm going to tell you, he is. Right. And he's coming soon. I believe he's coming soon. Now, what's going to matter? I talked with an individual just the other day. And he's a good man. And I love him to death. He was talking about some of the things that's going on in America. I'm telling you what, he can just make your hair stand up on end. Some things that he knows of. He knows for sure they're going on. He has the ability and to get the information. It is going on in America. Some of the things that just absolutely stand your hair up on end. I mean, this thing's getting bad. You think America's just going to continue on? I mean, it's getting real bad. And we got done talking, and I said, thank you so much for sharing that with me. And I said, I'm thankful. And I told him, I'm so thankful you're where you are. And I'm so thankful you're doing your best to stop it. And I said, but you listen to me. I said, I also am where I am because God's placed me there. And my purpose is not to stop the foolishness that's going on in America. My purpose is to get people saved. And I want to tell you right now, that's what you've got to have as your goal of life as a Christian. You can work all you want to stop all this other stuff, but you'll never get it stopped. And we should do everything we can to make things right. But don't let that become the priority of life. The priority of life must be getting the gospel out. I shared with him someone who got saved in this church who he knew very well within the last last couple months. And he just astonishingly looked at me and said, are you kidding? I said, no. And I said, this is what I'm talking about. This is what we got to do. That's the purpose of this thing. Now, as a Christian, just ask yourself. I mean, no one's making you answer. Just ask yourself, what is my goal in life? I'm talking about top priority goals. I don't mean you don't have other goals, other things you're working toward. But what is your top priority? As a Christian, what's your top priority? And what should it be? Right. Amen? Sure. So the whole purpose is getting people saved. But what has happened is this. Just like he said over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the 3rd verse, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. The church has a desire to have its ears tickled. And that's exactly what he says in that verse of Scripture. Many of your churches today desire to have their ears tickled. They do not want to hear this kind of preaching. They'll sit back, and I mean, they'll pull back away from it, and they'll shake their head. I've seen them physically shake their head, look down, look away. They don't want to hear it. I'm just telling you, my brother, you better get in your Word of God and prove that your way is the Word of God way. And it's time we quit tickling ears. It's time we preached the Bible, the Word of God, and got people serious about serving Jesus Christ. Amen. Hosea, the 8th chapter, he said this, I have written to him the great things. He was speaking of Israel. I've written to him the great things of my law. But they were counted as strange to him. God said, I give them the great things of my law, my word. And they just counted as strange. I've over years, and boy, we've got some great evangelists. I think we've had some good evangelists here, don't you? And there's good evangelists that we haven't had here. They're good men. I believe that with all my heart. But let me tell you what I've run into over the years. Many times an evangelist come in, his whole desire, his whole purpose is to this. You don't know it. You don't understand what's going on, or you wouldn't let it happen. But his whole desire is to come in here and make friends with most of the people and coochie up you and make you like him. Multitudes of evangelists today, their whole purpose is to come in, boy, be friendly, be a nice guy, all that, get up and preach. And there was even right here in this church, man got up one time during the his week of meetings and he said, well, I'm saving my rough sermon for the last night. So that he said, then I'll be leaving. And everybody laughed, you know. Made a joke out of that. So when he got done preaching that week, I said, where was your rough sermon? I just looked him in the eye. I said, where was your rough sermon? I've been waiting on it all week. I said, I never did get it. I said, you didn't preach the fire out of me. You preached those coochie-coochie things that made everybody feel good. I'll tell you something, folks. We're living in a time... I'm telling you, we're living in a time where we don't need coochie-coochie sermons. You look at the church today, and you look at the condition of the church today, and you tell me we need those kind of sermons. We need something to stir us to revival. Amen? Sure. But I want to tell you, that's going across, all across America, that's going on. The whole thing that they're waiting on is another meeting. Get it all lined up so they can get another meeting. Amen? Some of them become friends with the church members and write them and do all kinds of things. Sometimes church members send them money. I'll tell you what I'd do if a church member sent me, if another church sent me money, I'd send it back to the pastor and tell him exactly what happened. And I'd say, here, pastor, this is yours, not mine. Now, you say, do you care if you give him? No. If you do it openly, you do it fine. You know what a good evangelist will do if you give him money? He will come tell me. And you know what I'll say? Praise God. I do that to missionaries. A good missionary, I have missionaries try to hide it from me. You can't believe some of these things. But on the other hand, many missionaries come up to me and say, Pastor Ross, some of your folk gave me some extra money. He said, is that all right? I said, absolutely, it's all right. God bless you. I'm glad they did it. Glad it was a blessing to you. Sure. But I'm just telling you, there's things going on in churches in America, and that's just a small amount of things that is just absolutely ridiculous. Paul said this, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Folks, when we get done preaching, we ought to be able to say, we've declared the counsel of God to our people. Do you know we're supposed, as a Christian, we're supposed to be different? I want to go ahead and turn to this next verse of Scripture. Over in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, we won't take a lot more time, but I think you're getting the gist of things. What I'm simply saying is, we need revival in America. We need it right here in this church. And verse number 14 says this in chapter 33 of Exodus. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, you've heard that before. That's Moses speaking to God. And then he says this, verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? He said, God, if your presence is with us, they'll know that we found grace in your sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? How are they going to know unless you go with us? Now listen to what he says. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. God's people are to be separated.
It ought to be able to tell a difference in your speech, your look, your dress, your actions, your places you go, the way you behave, the way you pay your bills. Every area of life ought to show forth that you're a child of God.
Amen?
Amen. You're a separated people. And let me say to you, things get tough. Things get tough. They really do. Sometimes Christians have it tough. They really do. God's people sometimes just have it tough. But I want to tell you something. They don't give any of us a reason to quit. Goodness gracious alive, when things get tough and we go on for God, that is an absolute testimony to the grace of God. You say, oh, Brother Ross, you know, I've got it really rough and all this, and I just can't do this. Now, well, come off of it. Has God been so bad to you? Come on. When it gets tough, show the people of this world how good God is. Amen. I'm sorry. Maybe I don't have much compassion, but when someone has physical problems and they let it stop them from serving God, it may change what they serve, but if they let them stop them from serving God, that just bothers me. All I can think of is Brother Watt standing up here.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, ain't right. When you have a physical problem, I know if you're running a fever and your Cora's had a wreck, she can't be here tonight. I'm sure she'd rather be. Amen. But I'm saying there's times you just can't be in the house of God. We all know that, but I'm talking about on a regular scheduled basis. Folks, y'all be here even though you're hurt. You hurt, so what? Be there as a testimony to the grace of God. Amen? I know there's times. I know that. You can't come. Well, you're down. I mean, I know that. But that ought to be a constant thing. Amen? And then a little thing comes up and says, well, I got to do this. And instead of going to the house of God, where is your spirituality? Come on, who comes first around here? God or this world? Amen? Whew. You can't quit because it gets difficult. You just got to keep on doing no matter what. And then lastly, well, maybe not. God tells us in the Word of God that we're not to remove the ancient landmarks which the fathers have set. I want to tell you something. I won't do a very good job of it, but I fight with everything that's in me to just hold the line. I want to hold those landmarks that people before me, went before me, set. I want to hold the landmarks of the Bible, the Word of God. And there's people fighting against you all the time. Oh, yes, they are. They fight you. They'll do anything. They'll walk a line. They'll do anything to fight you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to do my best to hold the landmarks. See to it they don't get moved. Amen. And you got to help me. Amen. Somebody gets out there ready to move one of them landmarks. Go up to them and say, don't move that. Don't move it. Leave it alone. What are you trying to do around here? Change things? You leave that landmark where it's been. It's been here for 25 years. Church 25 years old. What kind of landmarks have been here? What are you doing trying to move them? Who you think you are? Amen? Sure. But what has happened is this. In Psalms, first of all, Psalms 40. Psalmist said, when I got saved, God put a new song in my mouth. Even praises unto God. And he said, many shall see it and fear and trust in him. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, new song went in my mouth. I don't know what other people did, but new song went in my mouth. And that song's been to praise God. I want to praise him. When I fail, I'm the blame, not him or anybody else. I'm the blame. The church has lost its credibility. Let me tell you what the world sees. The world sees the church's failed mission. It's internal strife. It's worldly practices. just exactly like the world does. That's what the world sees. The world sees the church coexisting and enjoying the same pleasures it enjoys, but failing to do the one thing it was designed to do, and that's to give them the gospel. The one thing that God has asked us to do is to give the gospel. No, we go out and enjoy the pleasures. We coexist with the world. But we won't even take the time to give them that which God has given to us to give to them. Obadiah, the first chapter, second verse, he said, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." Israel becomes a despised people. And I say to you today, the church is despised in the eyes of the world today, because we don't make a difference. We're no different than them. Amen. Now, I'm preaching as a whole, as I see the church. Churches in America are a mess. And I'm not going to say blessed hope isn't a mess. I'm just going to say we need to shape up if we are. Amen. So, Brother Austin, what do you mean? Well, I'll tell you what. Next week, 10 messages that ought to stir our hearts. Amen. To doing right for God and seeing revival come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. That's the desire of the Lord. That's my desire as a pastor. Now, I believe it should be, and probably is your desire also. And I trust it is. Let's just do everything we can to go out, get folk to come, get them here under the hearing of the Word of God. Do our best to do that. Pray, ask God. Amen. And but be here ourselves. Every night of the tent revival, be here. Be here Sunday morning, Sunday school. Be here Sunday morning. Be here Sunday night. Be here all through the week next week. Be here the next week after that. Sunday morning, Sunday school. Sunday morning, church service. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Just keep on doing it. Amen. God will help you, and God will help me, and He'll bless us, and we'll see some good things happen around here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness, your wonderful grace. Thank you for who you are and how great you are. I certainly ask you to help me individually to be revived. I ask you, Lord, to help us as a church, as a whole, each individual, to just give our hearts and lives to you and help us to be winners of souls. In Christ's name, amen.